Welcome to the latest episode of New Tricks, where we are joined by Tim Wealdon, Managing Director at Zeal Hotels. We look back at car park networking at IHIF, what the cost of living and labour crises mean for the sector, and thinking about working with the planet, not against it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of New Tricks, which is the regular podcast from New Dog PR. We are Rosie Fresh, back from IHIF. Rosie Fresh, Catherine?
Possibly. I think today was the first day that I managed to think, oh yes, that's enough sleep now.
Good. Okay. So you've reached the end.
Not too bad a bounce back.
You reached the recovery. Good. Yes. Well, I'm pleased to hear it.
It's about fitness, isn't it? It's not about how out of breath you are and how much your heart's pounding out of your chest. It's how long it takes to recover. And I think we all agree that's the issue with Berlin.
Yes. My watch tells me that on a regular basis. It hasn't yet told me if I've recovered from Berlin, but it did tell me I recovered from Pilates today.
People talk about how science is progressing at leaps and jumps, but it's not, is it really? There are still things that are much left to discover.
Absolutely. What's not left to discover, though, is our guest this week, and we are delighted to be joined by Tim Wealdon, who is the Managing Director of Zeal Hotels. Tim, welcome to New Tricks. How are you?
Thank you, ladies, and thank you for inviting me into your famous chat room. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. I'm still recovering from Berlin myself. It seemed to go on and on. It was very good, don't get me wrong. It was really nice to see people again and meet them and eye-to-eye contact and all the rest of it. But it was obviously very different to the likes of Zoom and talks that we've been involved in for the last sort of 2.5 years. So yes, I did find 3 days of it quite hard work, but I'm coming out of it at the end of the day. So yes, I'm surfacing, which is good.
Well, congratulations.
You did bring some excellent gin with you, which I think is key to any long recovery time.
We did, yes. I just snuck in a couple of bottles of Musketeer gin just to celebrate the Musketeers.
What's the story? You've got to give us the backstory to the Musketeers.
Very, very briefly. Yes, we had, I'm going back nearly 20 years now at IHIF, and there were 3 or 4 of us who were sort of dubbed Musketeers. We were obviously a lot younger than we are now. And we did consume silly amounts of alcohol at silly hours. We have a couple of hotels, and the first hotel we opened, which was Holiday Inn Express, about 3.5 years ago, the local distiller decided he was going to be able to do a gin for us, and so we actually had a few tastings, and we went for a Zeal gin, which seemed to go down very well. It's a standard 40% London Dry, with a tang of orange and all sorts.
It's very orangey. I liked it very much.
That's the home gin for both the hotels that we've got in Bridgewater. And about 2.5-3 years ago, we came out with another gin, which was the Musketeer gin, and that was named after Musketeers. So I snuck a couple of bottles in and spoke to the guy from spoke to the manager actually at the intercom. And I gave him the story as to how it all started and why we named it the Musketeer and everything. And he bought into it big time and said, yes, I can put a couple of bottles behind the bar and we can just consume them as and when we want to. So, yes, we had the Musketeer gin, which is a cinnamon gin. It's only 30% volume. It's more of a liqueur gin, really. But it seemed to go down very well. There wasn't any left at the end anyway.
It was good sipping booze.
It went down well. Yes, it did go down well.
Perhaps this is the key to successful conferencing, just gently oiling the wheels of that conference with a steady supply of gin. Bring your own booze. Brilliant.
Conferences.
I'm not sure, that would work, actually. I'm not sure there'd be a lot of conferencing done.
Well,
what is a conference anyway?
Exactly.
How are you, onto matters of hotels and whatnot, Tim, how are you viewing the sector at the moment? Let's start big.
Yes, because I don't know about you, but my Berlin experience was that everyone was like hopped up on hotel fun to almost excessive level.
I think you're right. I think it was like letting the hare out of the traps, letting the dog out of the traps, wasn't it? There are a lot of people there, very, very enthusiastic and very positive. And I know we'll be talking about it, but hopefully post possibly the worst COVID that we've had, we do have now a lot of enthusiasm in the marketplace. for traveling again. And it's not only businesses and companies, obviously, it's the business and the leisure sectors. The key really is from a hotelier's point of view is to try and regain and surpass the previous ADR and occupancy levels that we managed to achieve as soon as possible. The bulk of us have got civil loans, which we've still got to pay off. Yes, it's at a good rate, et cetera, et cetera. But unfortunately, COVID is now part of our life, and we've just got to accept that we have to manage the process. We have difficulties now from a hospitality sector in terms of staff and in terms of prices. I think there was a report done probably early on this year or maybe latter part of last year where there was something like 330,000 members of staff of the hospitality industry that had left in the UK. And some of those, or the bulk of those, have probably found alternative employment now, which is good. But their hours are perhaps a little less intrusive, shall we say, onto their private life, and they rather like that rather than having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go and start cooking breakfast, etc. So I think as an industry we have a real challenge in terms of enticing people back into hospitality. And I think that is one big key area that we are going to have to do. And I'm not sure actually the responsibility of that is probably more of an operational side and also an educational side as well.
So how do we do it?
Yeah. Well, before you, whilst you're considering the answer to that, Tim, I was reading the Langton Capital this morning, who reported EasyJet. They are removing a row of seats from some of their aircraft so that flights can be operated with fewer cabin crew. Do we remove a load of bedrooms from hotels or tables from F&B outlets? I don't know. Is that an option?
I don't think that would be an option because you have your feasibility and your cash flow on a certain amount of income, which is derived from the number of bedrooms or the number of tables you've got in the restaurant. So I think probably not is the case. I think what you've got to try and do is make your product or better than it is at the moment. And in order for people to come and stay with you and come and eat with you, I think that's obviously key at this stage. I think it is going to be very, very competitive over the next 4 or 5 years, and it's also going to be very costly for not only for existing hoteliers, but also for developers such as ourselves, because prices are going up all the time, and it is frightening, when you're actually looking at that. And obviously, sustainability is a hot topic at the moment, and I think I think we've got COVID to thank for that, but it certainly made people focus on sustainability, and the whole of ESG. Sustainability is just part of ESG, but it's a big part, and it's an expensive part.
Before we get on to sustainability in reference to Zeal Hotels, can we go back to the general pricing bit? Because for all the vibrancy and sort of hootenannying around Berlin, which is very lovely, and yes, May, car park, sunshine, what's not to enjoy, there is this sort of looming 15% inflation siren that seems to be ignored, perhaps? Or what did you find? What was the general sentiment around that in Berlin? Is it a reality? Are people reacting to it now? Or is it a sort of, maybe it'll just go away?
I think I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's something that we're going to have to bite the bullet and accept. And I think as an industry, I think we've got to look at our pricing. Because somebody somewhere along the line is going to have to pay for it at the end of the day, and unfortunately, I just have a feeling it's going to be the guests. They're going to have to do that. We're finding it not only. We're talking about inflation. Obviously, it's food prices, utilities, electricity has more than gone up by a lot more than 15%, and horribly, I think that's going to continue. At the end of the day, and I think we're going to find that and realistically, it just comes off bottom line. So it is something that we have to address, and the cost of living is going to be increasing at the moment, and I think it will continue to do so for the next 4 or 5 years.
Do you think the guest will pay? Would you pay as a guest?
um, I think the answer is yes if the product is right. Mm-hmm. I think, and I think there's a lot of people, certainly in the commercial or the business sector, that do have to stay in hotels. So even if the price of the hotel goes up by 10%, then you know, yes, they will take a view on it and perhaps look for something cheaper down the road. But if that goes up by 10% as well, then you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't actually come and stay with you from a commercial point of view. Mm. The length of time is obviously different.
It was quite interesting because during IHIF, Hilton and Marriott had their results out, and of course they were wildly overenthused about the huge increase that they've seen in leisure rates as people have, you know, been released and are spending all their money, and it's been fantastic. And this is great. And then there were a couple of analysts who said, well, you know, cost of living crisis, inflation, people, you know, once people have deployed their savings, they're done. They're not, you know, and if they're spending more money on electricity and they're not saving up anymore. And you talk to people in the events sector as well who are saying, we're seeing a lot of events this year, we're not anticipating as many events next year. And my neighbours have decided to enter their house via the roof, it seems, using an
is this what we're doing in Paris these days?
Well, it's very warm, and I guess they're looking for kind of more of an open air experience. So I'll keep it quick. But and so your Nicetas and your Capuanos, having been addressed this, said, well, you know, cost of living, leisure market, they haven't been focused on the leisure market particularly, but they've had to because of COVID. They're anticipating this will all be replaced by the return of business travel. And, you know, tickety-boo. And that's great, but, you know, businesses get their money from people who buy their services. People are buying their services less. There's going to be no businessing. So,
absolutely.
So, yes, I guess, I don't know if it's going to be, as you said, it has to be about your product, doesn't it? So if there's
it's about
getting those people. And it's the same argument that we're seeing in labour, isn't it, in team members, that there's only so many to go around, so you better be the people who are getting them.
Mm.
So expect the sector to be a bit more stabby, I think, in the coming years.
I think we found that certainly when the gates opened, when the government opened the gates, reference to COVID, there's a lot of people then decided, right, I'm going to go away for a couple of nights. Now, it might be the weekend, it might have been during the week, or whatever. Pent up demand, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was understandable because there was a lot of frustration in certainly sort of private individuals just wanted to get away, just wanted to get out and experience something different.
Oh goodness, yes.
It might have been very different because the hotel was only possibly half staffed at the time because half the staff had gone and the breakfast was going to be another 20 minutes before it arrived, et cetera, et cetera. But I think there is going to be a continued leisure trade. It's just people perhaps are not going to be going away, you know, 3 or 4 weekends in the year. They might only go 2.
Mm.
But that's where your hotel comes in, whereby you've got to be able to offer something which is a little bit different to others.
Yeah.
To entice them in.
Will this be finally the demolishing of the under-demolished mid-market?
No.
Cannot be.
Will outlive us all. Surely not.
Well, they do say, I mean, what is it in the various reports that are out? I mean, by the time we get to 2050, there's 80% of the hotels that are presently in the UK will be still around in 2050.
Hmm.
So we're going to lose 20% of them somewhere along the line.
Well, Whitbread's very eager to get more to Premier Inns.
Or we're going to build more.
I'll tell you about the very lovely Premier Inn experience I had in Berlin.
Did you have a lovely Premier Inn experience?
It's a delightful Premier Inn. It had recently been renovated, recently been rebranded from a Holiday Inn, and they even had USB, not even, they had like separate USB plugs, charging points. Very oh, it was dead fancy.
Like the bus back from Bristol Airport, they have those.
Really?
What more can you possibly need?
Yeah, you just slot in your thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, which type of plug you might have.
No?
Just...
Was that
the Southwest people?
Was that standard USB or a USB-C?
Standard USB. It's not any of this to FireWire or to whatever it is to the other one.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, none of that.
Well, let's,
I do have to ask if that's when I want one.
Oh, good to know.
Yes. Apple
products. Let's
every 3 years.
Let's talk about product and specifically the Zeal Hotel product because it's ramping up, isn't it? Tell us a little bit give us a little bit of the backstory on Zeal Hotels, and then where we are, what magnificent moment has just occurred.
Well, we've been thinking about it for the best part of, I've been thinking about it the best part of about 13 years. I was in a conference with Jonathan Porritt was talking about sustainability in the construction industry. And he was basically saying what was happening in the industrial side, in the office sector, and in the residential sector. And it's something which I thought, to start with, I thought, why am I there? You know, I'm not really interested in this. This is nothing to do with the hotel sector. And then afterwards, it started sinking in and thinking, actually, well, the hotel industry doesn't do anything to do with sustainability. It's not in any of the brand spec documents. It's something which is, you know, more expensive. It's about 20% more expensive now. Beforehand, it may well have been more. But I just sort of kept thinking to myself, well, something's got to happen. The hospitality industry does have to do something. And so probably about 8 years ago, we did we had a design put together for a sustainable hotel. The only issue was that we were just coming out of a credit crunch or tail end of a credit crunch, and trying to get funding was almost impossible. So we just basically put it on the shelf. We then, about 3 years ago, we appointed the team, in effect, or the small team, the architect, the designer, and the engineer, to start working on a highly sustainable concept. As I said, this is going back 3 years now, and we started talking. We started having meetings. We put a little brochure together. We started looking at options that were available, not only on the operational side, but mainly on the construction side. Because that's a key part of it, because construction of hotels historically, and I know this for a fact because we've got two of them, utilize an enormous amount of concrete and steel, and they are very heavy drainers, if you like, in terms of CO2. They're putting a lot of CO2 in the atmosphere, so we have to start looking at changing right from the start. So about 3 years ago, we started this process going, and Zeal Hotels, we managed to secure a site. Which is now down in Exeter Science Park, which we actually have taken on board. We are looking at, we have been looking at about 10 months ago, appointing the formal team to do all the necessary work for us, and that includes obviously engineers and acoustics and transport and all the rest of it, the usual stuff. But we also brought on board the QS and also a contractor. And that's been vital, very, very important right from the start. You wouldn't bring those guys on normally from the start, but it has been very, very useful. And so we are now in a position whereby we've actually put in a planning application, where we put in a reserve matters application. The site itself does have planning, so we have planning, but we just need the detailed planning. And we put in planning for 142 bedroom sustainable net zero carbon hotel.
Hey.
It's been very interesting. It's been a fascinating journey over the last 3 years, but certainly over the last 12 months, talking to people about the structure, about M&E, about utilities, about how everything fits together. Because, you know, if you take out your concrete and your steel in your actual structure, which we are doing, we're using CLT, which is a composite called cross laminated timber. Which has been used all over the world beforehand. It hasn't been used a lot here in the UK, but certainly the likes of Canada and North America and Scandinavia used it for generations. There's no reason why we shouldn't use it at the end of the day. The CLT, it weighs 25% of the structure of a steel or a concrete structure. So you don't need, for instance, the big foundations underneath. You just need a smaller foundation. There's knock-on effects all the way around. We've taken out air conditioning and comfort cooling. Those are massive drainers in terms of CO2, and we put in the new system, which is great. So it is very exciting. It's been very time-consuming, but we've managed to get there. I think one of the big things that we have been looking at throughout has been the guest experience, because it's all about guests at the end of the day. And we are on a very long journey, if you like, in order to make everything sustainable. And we want to be in a position whereby we bring the guest along with our journey. They join us for the journey. It's not just something that we're going to prepare and say, ha ha, this is it. This is the new sustainable hotel. Come and visit. This is something whereby we're actually, you know, we will potentially be educating people, guests actually in the hotel itself, to where things come from. You know, why is that chair slightly different color to that chair? They look exactly the same. Well, actually, the plastic on the beach on that day was a different color to the plastic on the beach the other day. And various other things like that. There's lots of ideas, lots of wacky ideas that we're actually looking at, which is great. But it's not only what we want; it's what the planet wants, and it's also what the guests want. The guests want to be educated. They want to see things, and it's not going to be an education in your face. You know, it's just going to be little snips here, there, and everywhere.
Sounds enormously exciting. What about the appetite from investors? Because I think that's we have this age old conversation, don't we, in hotel land. Who is the guest? Is it the investor? Is it the person that comes to sleep in the bed? What's the investor appetite for a sustainable product these days?
I think on the back of Berlin, I think investors are absolutely thrilled with anything that can be done in a sustainable manner. I think a lot of the investors have already investments out there. They've already got assets which are not sustainable. They themselves have probably stated they are going to be, you know, net zero carbon by 2030, 2035, 2040, whatever. And they now have to do something about it. So they have to start investing in sustainable assets. In order to ease the situation on their existing assets, and it's something which, you know, a lot of investment companies have actually committed to it. As I said, it's something that they have to do. There is no doubt they don't have an option.
Got to be done. Before we talk about the future for Zeal and world domination and all that. So we used to ask people what their favourite biscuits were as a sort of a light-hearted interject in these podcasting sessions. You're very welcome to answer that question, but we sort of moved on from there because we covered all the biscuits in all the world, sort of. And so when you now ask people what their most memorable hotel experience was, do you have one that you're able to share?
I think the one that really stands out really was where it was literally 10 years ago, because I do remember it, because it's when I registered Zeal as a company on a family holiday with my wife Jeanette and boys Michael and Oliver, and we stayed for a couple of nights in the Sheraton in downtown Vancouver.
Oh, nice.
Up on the next to the top floor, I think it was, and the views, because we had sort of floor to ceiling windows. The views right out over Stanley Park, about North Vancouver, and then over to Vancouver Island were absolutely stunning. And we really, really enjoyed that as a family, and that meant a lot to me. It was great.
Mm. Nice. I can mess up in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So the future, what happens next? A whole family of Zeal hotels were before, you know, on the way to world domination. What's your,
World domination, Emily. What we're doing is actually putting a few ideas out there in the marketplace, which I think will be looked upon favorably. They have to be, because the hospitality industry has to become sustainable. And to be fair, I mean, we're looking at obviously the first one in Exeter. We've got a couple of others that we are looking at. So we've got a little pipeline which is brewing, which is great. And the target really is you know, sort of 10 hotels over the next 10 years. And we're looking at business parks, sports stadiums, provincial towns, arterial routes, the usual stuff for a three or big four-star hotel. It's more four-star, actually. So that's the plan at the end of the day.
Good plan. We sort of finish off these podcasts by asking the same set of questions to all our guests. Catherine, have you got any sustainable thoughts before I hurl into these questions?
I guess my sustainable thought would be that it's good to be sustainable. How do you convince people that you're being sustainable? Because they've been told, and the people in this case is the guest, because they've been told, so just before the pandemic, it was all about how we're getting rid of plastic straws and like making giant shampoo bottles. And, yep. and they saw through that. And so we've created a cynical guest who's been greenwashed on a number of occasions. How do you convince them that what you're doing isn't just more chat?
I think a lot of it,
towel cleaning bills.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with how we're actually going to be operating the hotel. We're obviously looking at the construction, which is key, but the guest won't actually see the construction. Yes, they'll see that it's a timber construction because there's the exposed walls and that sort of thing throughout the hotel. But a lot of it is going to be press. There's going to be a lot of press in there. We've got to make sure it's right, and we are actually achieving the goals that we want to achieve in terms of net zero carbon. That's the main point. There are a lot of other people doing a lot of work within sustainable hospitality, and I take my hat off to every single one. It doesn't matter whether you're getting rid of plastic straws or whatever. At least you're doing something. At least you're actually trying to assist and help, and starting on that road, which is going to be a relatively long and possibly a quite expensive road, certainly between now and 2050. I think one of the issues was, I mean, I sat in on the IHIF Sustainability Committee meeting before the conference, and it was very interesting listening to a lot of other people there who have got existing hotel assets. And they really don't know where to turn. They don't know. They say yes, okay. We have to make it sustainable. But not only what do we have to do? Because there's no benchmarks yet in terms of what they have to do. Mm. And once we've achieved that, then we've got to work out how we're going to do it. So we're still at a very early stage, and it is a very steep learning curve. And we've learned obviously a lot over the last 3 years, and we're going to be implementing quite a bit of the stuff into our existing hotels, but that's purely going to be operational, as opposed to structure. It's a very different world out there, and it will continue to get more different and more costly, unfortunately.
If I may just take you back to the delightful premiere in Berlin experience that I had. I will continue to bang on about this forever. At check-in, in my very ignorant, can't speak German, but luckily everyone spoke English, the interaction that I had with the check-in staff involved an option to forego my daily housekeeping. And if I chose to do that, they would donate a meal for each day I did that to the local homeless charity. And we were then, I thought it was very sensible thing to do, very good thing to do. It involved a good interaction, back to your point, Tim, about educating guests on this. It provided a dialogue. I just thought it was a brilliant idea.
I think things like that are great. I really do, because it means that, yes, there's a cost of whatever it is for cleaning the room, and there's a cost for a meal. But it helps everybody at the end of the day. It's actually, the money wheels are still turning. And it is. I'm very positive about things like that. They're great, and also bringing children in terms of the sort of education side, because what we're doing. Sorry, I'm gassing on a bit here, but what we're doing is very different in terms of the construction of the hotel, and what we'll be doing in terms of the operation will be different as well. We have liaised with the university and also the college, and we're going to be getting them on board very early on, because they want to be involved. They want to see what we're doing, because it's their future as well. Then at the end of the day, and again, are we going to be looking at local stuff, local produce? We're not going to be getting beer from Manchester and stuff. It's all going to be local stuff around Exeter.
And gin. Let's not forget the gin.
And gin. Gin will be distilled on site.
Hey, everybody to the Exeter Science Park for a gin session. I'm going to ask you the questions that we ask all our guests at the end of the podcast, if that is all right, and you can spare us 2 more minutes.
Far away, if I can remember them.
Ta-da. When the shutters came up and I had the jabs in my arm, the first thing I did was?
Golf clubs in the back of the car and off to play a game of golf.
Very good. You've got a good golf course near you?
Yes, I have actually. Yes. Yeah.
Marvellous.
I play at Weymouth. So,
Fun day out.
Just down the road.
Very good. Okay, the best thing about the hotel sector is?
I think the best thing is the fact that it involves such a diverse workforce. From management, chefs, cleaners, marketing, developers, banks, financiers, you name it. There's so many people involved in the hospitality industry. And I think that's what's very good about it.
Very much so. As we all saw in the car park of the Intercontinental last week.
Absolutely, yes.
The hotel sector would be significantly improved if?
In the short term, I think we would like to see more emphasis on ESG and putting people and planet before profits. I think in the future, I think if you're not looking after people and the planet, you won't make any profits.
Very simple. Heard it here first. It's
very simple.
What the industry needs now is?
Equity and mainstream competitive debt funding for hotel developments.
Have some of that. Very good. I like that answer. I don't think we've had that answer before. And finally, I'd like to think we've learned from this.
I think we go back to COVID, actually. I think it's opened up a lot of people's eyes and ears regarding sustainability. And I think people realise now what the ramifications are. Maybe not fully, but they understand it a bit now in terms of waste, and we're all experiencing it in terms of electricity bills and the like. And again, we have to work with the planet and not against it.
Very, very, very wise words, particularly wise words to end the podcast on. Thank you very much, Tim. Joy to have you on and share your views.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Catherine. How's the neighbour's new attic door looking?
Oh, it finished. Lovely. Perfect. Very happy.
That was speedy.
Yeah, well, no need to talk to the good people at Velux. One angle grinder in 20 minutes, all you need.
The efficiency of Paris. Good news. And many thanks to everybody that bothers listening every week. We truly appreciate your support. Please do like and subscribe and share and all those things that you're supposed to say at the end of a podcast. And do join us again next week for another new episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So that concludes our thoughts for this week. Thank you to everyone involved in creating this episode and providing something for your ears whilst walking the dog, washing the cat, chopping the veg, or however else you pass the time while podcasting.
Please do review and subscribe if you get your ear entertainment via Apple, or follow New Tricks if your ear delight comes from Spotify. These things make a difference, apparently. Until next time.